We are going to be in Ephesians chapter 2 this morning. That's Ephesians, the second chapter. A couple of weeks ago, you know, God started showing us and reminding us of some of the things that He's already told us. It was something that we're going to press into as a church, something that we're not afraid of shying away from hearing the word of the Lord and doing something with it. He had been showing us how the prophetic is not just something to make us feel good. It's not just something to go, yep, I heard from the Lord. No, it's that He tells us stuff so that we can do something with it. This is the Creator of the universe who speaks to us personally. It's the King of the kingdom. He communicates to people in His kingdom. And like in any kingdom, what the king says, it goes. What the king wants is what is going to be carried out. So when he speaks, that is what we focus on. Pressing into God and asking him, what is it that you want to remind us of? We saw the first week that he was reminding us of his authority. Then we saw that he was reminding us of obedience and submitting ourselves to Him. Here's the third thing that He showed me as I was praying about and pressing into it. He wants to remind us how we're positioned for unity and positioned in family. Brother is much more than just a catchy way of greeting people on Sunday mornings, or much more than just how you refer to somebody. Brother and sister is part of our identity to each other. It's how close we are. Communicating openly amongst the family. Moving forth together. Not allowing division to creep in. So let's look at Ephesians 2, starting in verse 14. For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And He came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Part of the beauty of the exchange done at the cross is that we are grafted into the family of God. Jesus broke down our differences and created us into family. He reminds us that we are family with one another. Anyone who confesses Jesus as Lord of their life is a brother and sister through Him. One thing about family is that family is family, no matter what. There's nothing that can break that bond of family. There's direct personal relationship in family. There's something that's stronger than anything else in family. That's love. Family, even when it's not seeing eye to eye, yes, that does happen, but there is still that bond of love that's there no matter what. You mess with my family, I mess with you. The enemy knows how to get to us when he messes with our family. He knows that it's going to be a jab, but he isn't smart enough to know that it just brings the victory all the more quicker for a man or woman of God. Because we go running to Daddy. We start name dropping our family name. We start coming against the enemy knowing that we have full access to the family arsenal. Nothing is off limits to us. That's why one of the most widely used weapons the enemy tries to use is division. If he can get us divided or going at each other, he can do things without us focusing our attention collectively on what he is doing. He'll get us arguing over pre-tribulation, post-tribulation, or mid-tribulation. He'll get us arguing over if this is a sin or not. He'll get people picking at one another of what one preacher did or said, what shoes they have on their feet. There's a whole website dedicated to preachers and their expensive sneakers. He'll start putting thoughts in people's heads about how horrible tattoos are, how they can't be saved if they have tattoos. He gets in people's minds and they allow controversy over what Bible translations to use. Oh, you got to use the King James only version. You know, the one that Jesus used. If you don't think Bible version arguments don't happen anymore, you guys know that I like to use the Passion Translation and the Message version to add some flavor to reading the same passage with a different light. And I see posts of people all the time knocking on the Passion Translation. Now, granted, part of it is because it has that word translation in there, which I would tend to agree it's not a translation, but that doesn't keep me from seeing the beauty that is in some of the words that are there. Both of those are what I would call a paraphrase, because it reads so much more like modern English. It paints a picture in a way we wouldn't see it otherwise. We see it more vividly, but we must filter it through Holy Spirit to see if it lines up with what He is wanting to say. Do I think it should be the only version we use? Absolutely not. What Bible version is the right one for you? I'm chasing a rabbit, but it's a good rabbit. It's the one that makes sense to you. It's the one that goes from your eyes to your heart. The one that you read it and you go, okay, God, I see exactly what you're wanting to say here. Whatever revelation you're wanting me to see is what I believe I'm going to see. And I'm going to embrace that. And I'll say, God is always going to show us something. It's His Word confirmed by His Spirit. It's not the only thing the Holy Spirit does, but it is one of the things of what He does. This whole little mini-series we're doing is exactly part of what Jesus said Holy Spirit would do. Holy Spirit would bring us into remembrance of what He said. That part of the peace that He gives us is part of the comfort in the words that He says. It's because God is faithful to do it. When we partner our faith with it. It's the same Holy Spirit inside each and every one of us. It's the same Spirit that leads all of us. But we have to get ourselves out of the way. We don't want our desires, we want His desires. So when we look at God's desire for unity, that is what we press into. We try to love our brothers and sisters, even when we don't feel like it. We must see the beauty in them the way that God sees them. This community prayer tonight is exactly what it should be. The church at large coming together. Churches coming together and pressing into what God has to say, because they are our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not just in this room, it's anybody that calls on Christ's name. I can't say it enough. We have lost our mission when the church down the street becomes a competition. Yes, they may be different than the way we do things, but they're still our brothers and sisters. As long as they proclaim Christ, we are with them. The way we do things at New Life isn't for everyone, but there are people who God has called to be here. One of the things that we had said at both at the Board Advance and at our annual business meeting is our goal for this church is not to do the same thing that the other churches in this area are doing. We want to find the things that we're not doing and press into that. We want to find the needs that still need to be met and press into what God is saying to serve this community. How we can reflect His relationship right here. Seeing where God's placed people and going to them wherever they are. God's plan is not division in the church. That's the enemy's plan. God wants us in unity. Psalm 133, we're going to read the whole thing, but it's only three verses. He says, "Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." Every time I read that psalm, I can't think of Danny. Can't help but think of Danny singing, "Break divided walls. Break dividing walls. There is a place of commanded blessing where brethren in unity dwell." So true. God breaks dividing walls, though. He already broke those dividing walls when Jesus died on that cross. We can't be putting up walls. We have to be tearing them down. Putting up walls is what hinders walking in the commanded blessing that God has. Putting up division squashes forward progress. We have to be willing to let go of personal desires and let God to be the one to have control. So we pray and ask God if we're holding on to anything too tightly. Too often, division comes when we put ourselves first. It's not about us. It's all about Him. The model prayer isn't, "Our kingdom come, our will be done." No, it's His kingdom and His will that we're looking to have happen. That comes from the relationship. We can't have someone else's walk with God for them. But we can come alongside them until they start hearing and realizing what God's desire is. God's breaking down walls. He's bringing people together that would never be together otherwise. He's abolished the division that used to be there. It's not a "God loves the Israelites more than the Gentiles" way anymore. No, the New Testament, the New Covenant, the New Promise is that God loves them all equally. He no longer looks and sees that the children of God are the ones who were born from the seed of Abraham, the one that He was going to make a great nation from. God put that division to death on the cross. He made it so that He might reconcile them both back to God, because we need God. One of the things that the Old Testament law showed us is that we need Him more than anything. We can't do it on our own. Over and over, it showed how mankind needs Him. Mankind needs the Savior. We need relationship with Him. He made it so that everyone has the opportunity to become children of God. He made it so that there's a way into the family. But He makes it so that we have to choose to be a part of the family. It's the one family we actually get to choose to be a part of. He made it so that the two are brought together in the same house. Ways that the old man the old us, the old sides of both of them would probably not get along. And that's the beauty of family. So we're all mixed together. I don't know if you guys have been following along in season 3 of The Chosen, but if you are, you might have seen, if not, spoiler alert, you might have seen Peter and Gaius just being amazed or being disgusted at each other at the same time about the way the other's nature was, about how the other's customs and traditions were that made no sense to them. But once they both say yes to Christ and under the new covenant, all that's under the bridge. Those walls are all broken down when coming together under Christ, bringing us together, making peace through Jesus, pushing the relationship back to Jesus as the main thing. Because out of that relationship comes the peace that He gives us. He Himself is our peace, is what the Scripture says. It says that He preached peace to those who were afar off and those who were near. He made a way for those who grew up hearing stories of God's goodness to His people. And He made a way for those who saw and heard the stories of what God did, even though they weren't His people. So whether today's context, whether you said yes to a relationship to Christ at a young age, or if you waited until you're much older, He makes a way to reconcile us all together. Some people's paths are not that great, but God has the ability to change people. He frees us from our past. The past is the past, though. He doesn't define us by our past anymore. He makes us a new creation. He makes us whole and new again. One of the hardest things for a believer is accepting someone we knew from before we were saved and embracing them as a new creation. We may have seen how they acted before. We may have heard stories. But we have to receive them with open arms when they come to us as a brother and sister in Christ. Think about how we see in the book of Acts, where it was difficult for the believers at that time to believe that Paul was changed after he was on the road to Damascus. If the believers at that time had completely resisted Paul and not allowed God to show them that He was a new creation, someone else would have had to write a good portion of the New Testament. Paul is a testimony of the changing power of God. Paul is the reason that we can believe that if God did it for Saul, He'll do it for whoever we think has too hard of a heart to change. God loves them all. God loves the backsliders, the wayward ones, the prodigals. He loves them all. Gone are the walls of religion. We can't think like the Pharisees. Sticking to the ways, the things that had always been done, we must embrace however God wants to do things. Once we know who we are in Christ, we see things differently. Since Jesus makes access to the Father through Holy Spirit the same way in all of us, we start to recognize how brothers and sisters in Christ are some people that we didn't realize it, but they are sold out to Jesus. We have conversations with people that we've barely met, like we've known them for years, because it's the same Spirit in both of us in agreement. They are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. The foundation has already been laid for us. Jesus Christ is that foundation. He is the chief cornerstone. He's the reference point for the entire rest of the building. Every piece that is laid references back to Him. You and I are very much a part of the temple that God is building. We all have a part. And when one part isn't there, the others around it feel a little extra weight. It's good for us to gather. It's good for us to be in unity, embracing being in God's dwelling place together. Just as every part is referenced back to the cornerstone, our actions all reference back to our cornerstone, Jesus. Our measure is not other people and what they do or they don't do or we think they're getting away with. Our measure is Jesus and what He says. Our reference is the relationship that we have with Him. If we compare ourselves to others, we tend to think that we're better than we are, or we think we're worse than we actually are. Instead of seeing that we're exactly where Jesus wants us to be, or measuring against what He's telling us and seeing if we're exactly where He wants us to be. So let's get used to meeting more of the family. God wants to grow us as we interact with more people that He has planned for His family. He's bringing us together, recognizing that He's broken down the barriers that we had once erected, and embracing each other as family the way that He has made us to be. That is our new nature. In Romans 8, starting in verse 14, it says, "For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." We have been brought into the family of God. There's no lack in family. There's no stepchildren in the family. He makes us full-blown children. Not that we're somehow an inferior child, but rather that our nature is completely as such as a legitimate child of God. Our God is such a loving Father. He desires nothing but good things for His children. He wants the best for us. He isn't satisfied with the bare minimum. He's not stingy. He wants us to thrive in His family. He doesn't set us up for failure. He sets us up for victory that He's already given us. His ways are good, 100%. Nevertheless, He can't be someone that He's not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's faithful to keep doing the change that He started in us, but we must allow Him to continue to burn all the useless dead stuff off of us, only letting what leads to life remain. Transformation does not stop at salvation. God continues to make us new every day. He makes us new every minute of it. So we should recognize and embrace and walk in the newness that He has. In Ephesians 5, verse 8, He says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." We used to be darkness. but now we're light. No longer are we darkness, we're transformed. He made us to be light for His kingdom. So we should walk as children of light. Our actions should reflect our family name. Our words should reflect our family name. Jesus paid the price on the cross, and He did it for us. Once and for all, He paid the price. He didn't sin, but He paid the price for our sin because He loves us. He took the fall so that we could be reconciled back to God and be grafted into His family. Let's build a little bit of flavor looking at Psalm 133 and some other versions. We're going to let this simmer and burn and build it a little bit here. In the Message Bible, it says, "How wonderful, how beautiful when brothers and sisters get along. It's like costly anointing oil flowing down head and beard, flowing down Aaron's beard, flowing down the collar of his priestly robes. It's like the dew on Mount Hermon, flowing down the slopes of Zion. Yes, that's where God commands the blessing, ordains eternal life." Out of the Passion Translation, verse 1 says, "How truly wonderful and delightful it is to see brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity. It's as precious as the sacred scented oil flowing from the head of the high priest Aaron, dripping down upon his beard and running all the way down to the hem of his priestly robes. This harmony can be compared to the dew dripping from Mount Hermon, which flows down upon the hills of Zion. Indeed, that is where Yahweh has decreed His blessings will be found, the promise of life forevermore." Unity is such a precious thing in the body of Christ. Unity in the family is not optional. It's an important and vital part of kingdom living. So we have to release whatever it is to God. He will take it from us. God didn't intend for His family to be divided. He didn't want His family to be at odds with each other. His desire is for us to live victoriously and give the enemy the 1-2 punch. He wanted us to have each other's backs. The world shouldn't be looking at the church and saying, "See, they can't even get along. Why would I want to be a part of that?" No, He wants the world to look at the church and see that we are moving forward in His love, that we are known by Jesus' love, that we're moving forward in unity in His love. Loving others the way that we love ourselves. Loving others the way that Jesus had loved us. Showing them that He is a God of love. Not of hate, not of division, not of turmoil. God is not ashamed to call us brethren. That's an awesome promise. Let's pray. Well, Lord, we thank You for the place of command and blessing where we do dwell in unity, God. Lord, if we've been hanging on to anything, Lord, show that to us. Lord, we give You full control in our lives. Lord, let us be known by Your love, God. Let Your love triumph over division. Lord, we thank You that You have destroyed walls already, God. Lord, any walls that are being built up right now, God, let them crumble in Your name, Jesus. Lord, if we're trying to build up walls, let us recognize it and tear them down. Lord, we thank You for revealing the plan of the enemy. Lord, we thank you for revealing that he is already defeated, Lord, and we remind him of that this morning. So, Lord, let your love prevail. Lord, we thank you that so many songs that we have sang today, Lord, revolved around your love, because you are a loving God. Lord, we give you all the honor and the glory for it. We thank you for that. We praise you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.